Welcome. Sunday, December 4th, 2022, the second Sunday of Advent. Well, our scriptures this week are Isaiah 11, 1 through 10, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, 1 through 12, and Romans 15, 4 through 13. And our message this week is Bethlehem. So if you please open your Bibles and read with me from our scriptures today, starting in Isaiah 11, 1 through 10, the branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the river Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Our gospel reading this morning, Matthew 3, 1 through 12. John the Baptist prepares the way. Starting in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' But John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. And people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea, the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then our reading from Romans 15, 4 through 13, starting at verse 4. Paul writes, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. So may God, who gives endurance and encouragement, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name.' Again it says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this being the second Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of peace, which symbolizes faith, the faith to which we come to realize by the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. So today we really light the Bethlehem candle. Well, Bethlehem is a town in the West Bank. It's situated in the Judean hills, 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And as most of you know, Bethlehem, according to the Gospels in Matthew 2 and Luke 2, was the site of the nativity of Jesus Christ. I mean, have you ever looked up the meaning of Bethlehem? Well, I did in my preparation for the message today. Bethlehem in Arabic translates to house of meat. The Hebrew translation of Bethlehem is house of bread. So Thanksgiving is passed with the turkey and all its dressing, and our focus is on Bethlehem, the house of meat, the house of bread. So we should take time today and focus on the meat of the scriptures and the bread of life given and revealed to us at Bethlehem, so that, as Paul writes, the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, Bethlehem brings us an understanding of the scriptures foretold, the meat of the Bible, the prophecies. It's all about the bread of life, which we can receive by faith. Well, last week, Mary and Joseph were added to our nativity scene, and this week we have added the Magi, the three kings. The Magi, the three kings, were only briefly mentioned in Matthew 2, 1, and heading to Bethlehem. The significance of these Magi, these kings coming from different cultures and different countries to join together in worship of the Messiah, is the focus of today's message of Bethlehem. Well, in later tellings of the story, biblical scholars identify the Magi by name and identify their lands of origin. Melchior, he hailed from Persia, and Gaspar, also called Casper or Jasper, from India, Balthazar from Arabia, and none of them were of Jewish heritage, but Gentiles. They were identified this way in order to give the nativity scene in Bethlehem a sense of inclusion. Matthew recorded for us in Matthew 2:1 that they were from the east, letting us know that they were Gentiles. And Paul, in his writing to the people of Rome, wanted them to know that Christ came for all, not just the Jews. Well, there's an old story of a visiting admiral chatting on the deck of a U.S. Navy ship with some enlisted men. And he asked him, what would you do if another sailor fell overboard? Well, a sailor promptly replied, I would raise the alarm and toss him a life preserver, sir. The admiral asked a second question. What would you do if it were an officer? Well, at this, the enlisted man, he paused and thought before answering. Which one, sir? We choose which ones we save, which ones we love, which ones we are worth throwing a life preserver at. The Apostle Paul, in this week's epistle, says that God changes all that. So we come to Bethlehem this Advent season, first of all knowing that it's the place where all, that's capital, A-L-L, can find peace and hope by faith for our world and our lives. H.G. Wells once wrote a story titled, In the Days of the Comet. And Wells' story is a somewhat typical science fiction fantasy. A mysterious green vapor of unknown origin descends from the clouds and covers the earth. Well, the vapor has the immediate effect of putting all the earth's people into a deep sleep for 3 days. And when they finally awake, something amazing has happened. Their inner nature is radically transformed. petty quarreling comes to an end, and instead of seeking fame, power, and wealth, the people of the world seek to serve one another. Love, kindness, and generosity becomes more important than greed or success. In short, the perfect society emerges, a society in which the dignity of every human being is honored. Well, the prophet Isaiah looked forward to that kind of day. He looked forward to a day when the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion yielding together, and a little child will lead them, in Isaiah 11:6. Of course, Isaiah was not anticipating a green vapor that would come down out of the clouds. He was prophesying a shoot that would come from the stump of Jesse. That is Isaiah's way of saying that there was a Messiah coming who would establish a new world order, who would bring into being a new kingdom in which love is more important than power and service is more important than domination. John the Baptist saw himself as a herald of that Messiah, the one whose job was to prepare the way for the Messiah. The concern of the prophets, however, was not only one of personal salvation, but also the salvation of Israel, and through Israel, the salvation of the world. So what good is it if we save the individual, but leave him in a world that tramples upon his dignity and crushes his aspirations? We need to affirm that when the Messiah, the Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, who came into this world bringing with him the hope of a new kingdom, a kingdom that is still alive and still at work, whenever the name of Jesus is on the lips of believers. I mean, that's why John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." John was proclaiming to us today that the kingdom to come will dispel darkness and ignorance, exploitation and human slavery everywhere if we repent and faithfully proclaim the good news. It's no wonder that John spoke of the wrath which was to come. The gates of hell itself cannot prevail against the kingdom which came into the world with the birth of the Christ child in Bethlehem. And no wonder the angels sang in the heavens, and the wise men bowed in adoration. I mean, Philip Brooks was right when he wrote the events that occurred in the little town of Bethlehem. I mean, the hopes and the fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So we come to Bethlehem this Advent season, not only with hope for these in the world, but also for us as individuals, without exclusion. Once again, the words from Philip Brooks reach out to us. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. When no ear may hear his coming, but in a world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Bethlehem beckons us to proclaim the name of Jesus and pray, as Philip Brooks prayed in his final verse, "O holy child of Abraham, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sins and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel." Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.